With the Lord's help this evening, I will direct your attention to the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the third chapter, and the first clause of the 23rd verse. The first clause of verse 23, the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3. And ye are Christ's. And ye are Christ's. The knowledge that we are Christ's can never be measured in its value, in its preciousness, in its glory, and in its wonder. Surely, it is such an assurance that every one of the children of God seek after. Because if we are Christ's, then undoubtedly we shall reach heaven at last. And if we are Christ's, we shall see him as he is. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Everything in our lives depends upon and revolves around these few words, and ye are Christ's. It will cover the whole of our lives, and it will, in due time, be the reason for our being recipients of eternal life in the soul. We may have many evidences of the truth before us, but how wonderful if the Spirit of God should speak these words powerfully into our souls. None speaketh like him was an observation by his enemies whilst Jesus was here upon earth. And the people of God know from time to time that there is none that speaketh like God. Because when he speaks peace unto his people. What peace will be brought into your soul and into mine with the application of these words, and ye are Christ's. This word may well develop from our subject on Lord's Day concerning the elect of God. Every one of the elect of God have this to follow in their experience, and ye are Christ's. The Father chose a people for his praise, and he gave them to Christ in order that he might live and die for them and prepare them with the washing of blood and the clothing of a pure righteousness for heaven in due time. Everything emanates from these few words. And it hath pleased the Father that the whole election of grace should be, as it were, the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this, the Lord Jesus himself has undertaken all that is necessary to bring them safely on their way. We have, I think, mentioned this evening already that safety is of the Lord. And the reason for this, insofar that the people of God are concerned is that ye are Christ's, and therefore ye are safe. Ye are safe from all the dangers of life. Ye are safe from the temptations of the devil, because though he may tempt and though you may fall, yet you can only fall into the arms of Christ, who has redeemed you from under the curse of the law and has given the assurance by his death and by his resurrection that sin shall not have dominion over you, that Satan shall not conquer you, that the grave shall never be able to boast of victory. And all because ye are Christ's. Now, with the help of God, we would look at one or two points which come forth from these words as we view it in our various experiences. If we are called by grace, if we are regenerated by the Spirit of God, it is because we are Christ's. None other are called by grace, and none other are renewed in the spirit of their mind, and none other are regenerated in their souls. Therefore, because ye are Christ's, the blessings of regeneration and eternal life are known to those that are Christ's. Sometimes I have said that though we may not always have a spoken word from God concerning our standing, yet we may have many clear evidences that we are the Lord's. Now, if we're not the Lord's, we're the devil's. The Word of God makes it very clear. We cannot be half and half. We may go back to the beginning of our lives. If our names are written in heaven, though we know not the Lord, yet the Lord knows us. And therefore it may be said that in the days of childhood and of youth and maidenhood and so on, until the appointed time comes for God to manifest his love to us and regenerate our soul, we are still Christ's. Yeah, Christ's is the result of a covenant engagement. We do not become Christ suddenly when we are manifested by the power of regeneration. We have been Christ from all eternity. And maybe we can look back over those days when we knew not the Lord, and now we have an answer to why we were preserved, and why we were kept, and why we were watched over, and why we were hindered. All because ye are Christ's. Is it not good sometimes to look over those days, whether they be many or fewer, and see that the Lord's eye was upon us? Because ye are Christ's. What a consoling thought this is. Some parents have deep exercises concerning their children, and maybe as yet their children are not made manifest as truly having the grace of God. But if they are Christ's, perhaps you may have some encouraging hopes because you see that God's eye is upon them. and that sometimes they're hindered and sometimes they're preserved in a remarkable way. They may not realize it, but if you've been praying, watching over them with your prayers, then maybe you may have this confirmation in your soul that they are Christ's, because God's love is upon them. They don't know it. You can't say anything about it because it hasn't been made manifest that they are the Lord's. But nevertheless, your hopes are encouraged, and your hopes will look forward to such a day when the regenerating power of the Spirit of God will come upon those people and manifest them to be Christ's. And so, when God's law is brought into the soul and we become aware that God is holy, then people are very confused and very disturbed, and they think that God has gone out against them, not realizing that these things have come upon them because ye are Christ's. God has begun the good work of grace in the heart. He has made them feel that this world is not satisfying. He has made them feel that there's something that they lack. He has made them feel that what they see in others, whom they believe to be the people of God, they themselves do not possess. And in due time you may be able to trace these uneasy feelings when you have more positive evidence that ye are Christ's, that then you felt those feelings because of this truth, ye are Christ's. And so we may pass on from day to day and year to year in our lives. Let us ask ourselves now, have we any evidences in our own souls by the way that God has led us, that ye are Christ's? Is it not this an important point? Should it not be? Since we are all hastening to out of time into eternity, and we should face the solemn facts that if we are not Christ, we are lost. Oh, then what urgency this may press upon our spirits, which it will do, if God has given us a tender heart, to know that we belong unto God. Though God's election is a truth, small comfort there I see, till I am told by God's own mouth that he has chosen me. Now if we are chosen, we are chosen in Christ. And if we are chosen, it is because we belong to Christ. Does this exercise our soul sometimes? One of the evidences of our belonging to Christ will be set forth in the desires of the soul. We think of those words in the Song of Solomon, the first chapter. Tell me, O thou, whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? And if that desire is in our souls, and he that believeth hath the witness in himself, we may well have a good hope through grace that we are Christ's. The people that are Christ's will be followers of Christ. And if they are followers of Christ, they will have to give up following the world. We cannot follow both, because they go in opposite directions. The world walks in the way of pride, Christ walks in the way of humility. But if we are Christ's, we shall be followers after Christ. And we shall want to know where he dwells. Where dwellest thou? And he said, come and see. The geographical situation is not told us. But we do know this from the scripture. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite heart. Do we ask where the Lord Jesus dwells? If we are Christ, we shall discover that he dwells in our hearts by faith. And so when we move along from day to day, we shall feel that we're not alone. And when you pray unto the God of heaven, there is a movement in the soul sometimes. And that movement is the Spirit of God, of Jesus, of the Father, prompting you to secret prayer and directing your heart and affection above and expressing sometimes a longing after Christ. And this is because ye are Christ's. So do we feel sometimes the movement of the Spirit of God in our hearts? I believe it is an experience of the people of God that suddenly there is an urge to pray. And if that comes upon you, do not be hindered in any way. I know Satan will immediately rise up and attempt to set before you, but this must be done and that must be done first. But there have been a few occasions in my life when I've been in the midst of business and the urge has come upon me to turn aside and pray. It hasn't always been convenient, but God has made a way. I've also known the other side, restraining prayer, and continued with the work in hand. And then, sad to say, we felt that spirit move away. Now, it's a good thing to feel when the spirit moves away. Though it's not a positive evidence, it's a negative evidence that we realize that we're alive. Because we felt the Spirit go, and how we may mourn, because now we turn to prayer and we seem to have no words to speak. We do not realize always it is because ye are Christ. And being such, we are being instructed. Being instructed in the truth. Sometimes instructed in our own weakness, in our own depravity, at other times, or sometimes at the same time, being instructed in the power of the Spirit moving upon our hearts. But then, if ye are Christ's, there will be times when there will be shining. How we may well remember what one has written, shine, gracious God, and then I can feel sweetness in salvation's plan. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon me. There be many which say, who will show us any good? And if the Lord lifts up the light of its countenance upon you, it is because ye are Christ's. Now, do you wonder whether ye are Christ's? Are you tempted to think you are not Christ's? And yet, have you some of these evidences in your soul's experience? I hope at least to some of them you will be able to say, well, I know that's true. And I know that's true. Well, a few points that we've raised already, if it's true, in your experience, it is because ye are Christ's. And if ye are Christ's, there will be a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness. And there will also be a hungering and a thirsting after hearing the word of life. Have we this evidence that we are Christ's? Because there have been times when we could join the psalmist as he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Not merely to engage in a social occasion, but to worship the Lord. And to adore the Lord, and to exalt the Lord, and to magnify the Lord. We may not always be in this feeling. Alas, that such a sad situation should sometimes arise. But if ye are Christ, there will be sometimes when you have come to the house of God with a sweet anticipation. And may that sometimes be many times. Because the more times you're thus favored, the more evidences you will have that ye are Christ's. Because he has communicated to you a spiritual hunger. Now, if we have a spiritual hunger, we shall also have a distaste for that which is not spiritual. Some people may think that it is a very hard thing to give up the world and all that it offers to us. But if we have a spiritual hunger, it won't be a hardship at all. Especially if we are hungering after Christ and his fullness, and furthermore see the reason for this, because ye are Christ. Now, Christ and his church are one. They are united to one another in an indissoluble union. And therefore, the life which is in Christ, he gives unto them. And the life which is in Christ is eternal life. And eternal life is described in the scriptures that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Do we know God? And do we know Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant? With trembling lips we may say, I do. We dare not say we don't, even though we may with some anxiety say we do. Then ye are Christ's. And Christ will come and commune with his people. There will I commune with thee from above the mercy seat. And all because ye are Christ's. And because ye are Christ's, the love of the Father will draw you unto the mercy seat, or under the throne of grace. And have we been drawn with an irresistible drawing? So we had to come as we were, poor and needy sinners, a beggar poor, at mercy's door, lies such a wretch as I. And it needs grace to come, it needs some pulling of the Father's love to come under these circumstances. How can I come? You're drawn with an irresistible drawing. The everlasting love of the Father drawing you to his beloved Son, making you willing to see in him all your salvation and all your desire, and all because ye are Christ's. Now if we are Christ's, we shall from time to time know something of his own love and something of his own leading. In the 10th chapter of John, we read about Jesus Christ as the door of the sheep, and also as the shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Sheep in the scriptures have a reference to those that are Christ's. Naturally, a sheep will know its own shepherd. Remarkable, is it not? But so it is. And if you are Christ, you will know Christ the shepherd. And you will know him because you will hear his voice. And furthermore, you'll be led by the shepherd and brought into the fold and brought to feel security. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. The sheep of the shepherd are the adopted children of God, and they are Christ's. Therefore they will hear his voice, they will be aware of his presence, and being aware of his presence, they will feel safe. It is a blessing if we're alone, or if we're in danger, or if we're in fear, to feel that our shepherd is near. And if you've ever felt anything like that, I'm not alone, for God is with me. The apostle said, all forsook me and fled, but God stood by me. God stood with me. Therefore he was not alone. Why? Because of the words that we have before us. And ye are Christ's. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and about those that hope in his mercy. Some of you are alone in your own abodes. What a consolation when you feel that you're not alone, that Christ is with you. Christ is with you through the dark nights. Christ is with you even through difficult days. Well, if this is true, and your humble testimony accordingly bears it out, must you not say that this word is true concerning you? And ye are Christ's. Because ye are Christ, the love of Christ will be over you. And sometimes the Holy Ghost in a particular way will shed his the love of Christ abroad in your hearts. And that will kindle yours. And you can truly say, do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Behold my heart and see. And tear each hated idol down that dares to rival thee. And this is a work outside of yourselves. How hard we may sometimes be. Our nature may seem to take possession of us. We become worldly. Not worldly like the ungodly, but worldly by comparison. And why do we feel that? It is because you are Christ's. And you have a nature that makes you feel that you are worldly. You're not spiritual. Paul says to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. They that have no changes fear not God. Some have many changes in the order of God's providence. But more properly, we may look at that verse with the changes that may take place in our soul's feelings. And why are these changes necessary? If we are carnally minded and we know that it is death, how much we shall prize the life and peace that comes when we're spiritually minded. And when we're spiritually minded, we can see, oh, so clearly, ye are Christ's. And when we are spiritually minded, we shall love the Lord. Will not be the outcome of emotion necessarily, though sometimes our emotions may be overcome. But we may love the Lord. Love in itself generally is a strange movement within the heart. We cannot express love in so many words, we cannot describe it. Because it is something that is felt. And if we have loved the Lord, who can describe what we have felt? And maybe we should have to say, I can't find words to describe what I felt when I loved the Lord. But you know, sometimes we may have brought to our attention that there is a way in which we can demonstrate what we have felt. And so we have that word in the scriptures, if ye love me, keep my commandments. It will be a good time to keep the commandments of the Lord when the love of Christ is warm in our hearts. Indeed, strictly speaking, it is the only time when we may rightly follow the commandments of the Lord. What if you are able to be a doer of the word as well as a hearer? What a clear point we have here. And ye are Christ's. Moved by constraining love. Compelled and yet without force. And the love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. And if we are Christ, we shall think upon his name. And we shall think upon the beauty of that name, and the loveliness of that name, and the power of that name. Maybe we shall become aware of this scripture, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. And when you treasure up that name, ye are Christ's. Peter knew what this meant, ye are Christ's. He loved Christ. He made a clear declaration of his love to Christ. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. When the question was raised, will he also go away? He said, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Have we got that evidence that ye are Christ's? Have you been tempted sometimes to finish with Christ? To go with the multitude? And then it is as though Christ himself spoke and said, will you also go away? Meditating upon this, you had to come to the same conclusion that Peter came to. To whom else can we go? To whom else? There is none like unto Christ. Because he is the fountain. He is that full, sweet well of love. And if we've tasted the streams thereof, then all other streams must be poisoned, or at least having no benefit. There's curse and death in every stream but from the well of Bethlehem. It is a mercy to know the difference between the streams. There are many streams that may come into our lives, but it will be no mercy when we know that we are drinking of this stream. And now you may think upon it, if you have drunk of that stream sometimes, that ye are Christ's. Let us not turn away question the matter. The power of unbelief is very powerful indeed. And it will try to snatch away that which Christ has given to you. But Christ gives a multitude of evidences to his children. And sometimes he will come and speak with such clarity that he has loved you. That he has blessed you. That he has put away your sins. That he has redeemed you. And that he will remember your sins no more forever. They are cast behind his back. Why? Only because ye are Christ's. The ungodly will never know what it is for their sins to be cast behind the back of Christ. They will be continually before them and will haunt them throughout eternity. What a salvation is yours if ye are Christ's. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy sins. And will remember them no more forever. But then, if ye are Christ's, you will know something about God's justification. That is, how God can be just and yet the justifier of the ungodly. How appropriate that expression is. I've been glad of it sometimes. The Word of God does not say that Christ is the justifier of the saints, though that would be true. But he puts it like this, the justifier of the ungodly. And by the teaching of the Spirit, we shall feel at times ungodly. We are ungodly by nature. But then, because ye are Christ, you will be taught by the Spirit to show, that you may see that the Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. And that will take us back perhaps to the worst part of our life, when we knew not the Lord, or perhaps when we were left into a foul period of backsliding. When we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. And that dying was complete. It was efficacious. The blood of Christ was able to cleanse from all sin. And can you trace the source of your salvation to these words, and ye are Christ's. This is why it is that you've enjoyed such a benefit, that you've reaped such a blessing. No wonder the psalmist says, "Not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." The mercy of God had revealed to him that he was Christ's, that he was saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation, that he was loved of his God. "Loved of my God," says Top Lady, "for him again, with love intense I burn. Chosen of God ere time began, I'd choose thee in return." We love him because he first loved us. And Christ's love to his people is an eternal love. And therefore it is an unchanging love. "I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Maybe we might have felt at times that we would be consumed. We had a few thoughts on Friday about the fig tree that bore no fruit. And the sound went forth, "Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?" And because ye are Christ, ye will have an intercessor, which is Christ, who will say, "Let it alone this year also,
of the Lord Jesus.
And I will dig about it and dung it. And if it then bear no fruit, well, cut it down. Cut it down." And the people of God are spared. Even when, as people may look at you, you're bearing no fruit. But there is an intercessor. And to demonstrate that ye are Christ's, he stands there and mediates. Is a mediator of the new covenant. When the Lord Jesus Christ died upon Calvary, he rose again and ascended up on high, having led captivity captive and received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. One of the gifts that was given to the church of God, to those that are Christ's, is referred to by the Lord Jesus in his teaching. For he says, "If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much will your Father which is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" There's a great deal in that verse. Have we received the Holy Spirit? The teaching of the Holy Spirit that leadeth in the way of righteousness and truth. Then we shall be informed that Christ has died, that he has risen again. Powerful are the words in the 8th of Romans, in which the apostle does not let us remain, as it were, on the death of Christ alone, though that is important. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And if ye are Christ's, the truth will be precious to you, he ever liveth
to make intercession for you. How precious this is when we feel that sin has stopped our mouth. Wonderful to know the blessings of an intercessor when we can't say a word. Some of you might have known that. I've known it. Mr. Hart picks up a point when he says in one of the early hymns of our hymn book, "Teach us for what to pray and how, and since kind God 'tis only thou the throne of grace canst move, pray thou for us that we through faith may feel the effect of Jesus' death, through faith that works by love. Thou, with the Father and the Son, art that mysterious three in one, God blessed forevermore, whom, though we cannot comprehend, feeling thou art the sinner's friend, we love thee and adore. And all because ye are Christ's. Oh, what blessings result from our being Christ's." Maybe if we thought about it, we should come to the conclusion that we ought to think more about it, of the blessings that have flowed down to us because we are Christ's. Now, if we look into the world around us, one salient and sad feature is this, that there's such a lack of contentment. But if you are Christ's, one evidence will be that we shall be contented. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The apostle said to Timothy, "Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." And then again we read in the Hebrews, "Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do unto me." And all because ye are Christ's. Oh, we may think upon this word. May the Lord give us grace to think upon this word and to think of the multitude of blessings that flow from it. The apostle says, "I am what I am by the grace of God." And that issues from these words, "And ye are Christ's." And the apostle also says, "I have all things and abound, and I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." And the result of that lies in the words of our text this evening, "Ye are Christ's."